Who's your God? We walk through life with titles and labels, seeking approval, but no one is able to know success is really a fable, cause silver and gold is the lie he told. After careful consideration, I came to this conclusion that money is our God, but we worship by illusion. See, money is first and materials are next. And when we get the mansion, we think that we are blessed, but it adds more stress out of fear to have less. Instead of giving it to God, we give the world our best. We're not in church because we're in the office, and the thing we praise, we saw and bought it. We're chasing the bags, but we're still feeling sad, and we're chasing the bags, not knowing what we had, and our life is looking bad, but we're still chasing bags. See, we follow the wealthy and we frown on the poor because the demons are screaming, more money, more money, more, more, more. There used to be a time when kids played outside and they didn't receive trophies just because they tried. Is the trophy your God? Is your car your God? Maybe it's even your home. There was a time when we could be alone, but now we're never alone because we're being monitored and controlled, and our master is the smartphone. And our hands are greedy, but we're supposed to be smarter. And looking in the mirror gets harder and harder. See, I wanted my time to be family time, but I couldn't miss work. That promotion was on the line. Is it a crime? I think it is. Because when I was at work, the devil was with my kids. Who's your God?
That made them PKs. I may not say nothing about demons again because the power went out, but it was more of realizing a lot of things is choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I introduced faith to my children, but it is a choice, and it's something that they're going to have to choose. And, one of the things that I do is I try to model what I teach.
Yes.
So there have been times where my kids have asked, mainly my youngest have asked more than my oldest, like, why do you do certain things? And I say, I only do what I see the Father does. And so that is in wanting to see them to come back. And so when they ask me different questions, I give them scripture as life skills.
Mm-hmm.
And in hoping that they will make the decision. So I don't do too many sermons with them and things like that, but I do. They can exegete the scripture.
Okay.
They can do that because they want to disprove some stuff sometimes, but I show them how scripture is in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately has to be their choice. They both have come to me at different points in their lives saying, I don't know if I really believe in God like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that's part of the exploration phase.
Yeah. Yes.
But these are the things that I have in place to know that there's evidence of God is real. It's up to you. And then I showed them how to pray. I showed them where to find prayers when you are feeling discouraged and you don't know what to pray. You don't know what to think. Mm-hmm. I showed them where prayers of protection are. And so I was showing them all of those things. And I also showed them the freedom of the scriptures, because a lot of times people introduce what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, there's so much life in these scriptures, and you're focused on the few things that you don't do. And statistically, an average believer, an average person, even if they're a non-believer, follows about 85% of the commandments that are listed in the scripture. Not even knowing.
About
85% of it, they actually believe. So foundationally, you do a lot of these things anyway. It's just a conscious decision to say, I'm fully committed to the other 15%.
Wow.
Boy, that's deep. That's good stuff. Because the reality, you said so many good things. You talked about the PK children piece, which is, it does make it challenging. And how do you indoctrinate Christianity into their lives? And you do it with love and being gentle, because the reality is the world's waiting for them. No matter what we do, no matter how well we expose them to the faith, the world's waiting for them. And they can, especially when you're a PK, especially when you're a son of a police officer, because I've shared before in this show, my youngest son, they nicknamed him Snitch as a way to try to throw shade because his dad was a cop. And so
that peer pressure can be a monster too. So let me ask you this, Dr. Holland, how do you protect your children without controlling them when this is going on?
Oh man, I think I go back to free will and understand that you have, you have the choice to, you have the decisions to make, you have these choices that you can make, but at the same time, you have to understand that, look, there are consequences for the things that you do. And I can't protect you from everything. If you first, you got to be transparent with me. You got to tell me the truth so that we can get to the bottom of whatever it is. Because you obviously, if you can get yourself out of it, you would have, but you can't. I do believe that sometimes you have to let them feel the brunt of whatever the consequences are. Because otherwise they're going to continue to make those same mistakes over and over and over again. And part of being a responsible adult is that you have to be able to make, good decisions. And, you know, they say a soft head make a hard head make a soft behind.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes you have to let them fail a little bit. Mm-hmm. And part of protecting them is allowing them to feel some of that pain. Yeah. So they make the same decisions over and over and over again.
Yeah. And, you know, in a sense, when you don't do that, we're assuming the role of God, right? Because we're trying to control and protect them and do everything for them. But, you know, no, we're not God. They're going to have to go through that. They're going to have those heartaches and, you know, those bumpy roads. They're going to have to go down that path. And we just have to be there. So well said. And Cornelius, for you, what's the hardest part of being a father today, in your opinion?
So you've already mentioned it. And that the world is changing.
Yeah.
So I've been having a lot of conversations around this exact topic. Even though we know there's nothing new under the sun, a lot of things look new. A lot of the warfare that's going on now feels new. And so as a father, we have to stand on guard. And it's very important to have all of the things in place, because the war looks and sounds different. And so that's one of the things I thought about when you're talking about how our parents used to parent. Mm-hmm. They were parenting from a place of preparing us for the world they knew.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we do the same, and the world has changed a little bit. And so now we have to evolve as fathers to what's going on now. And there's a lot going on. I know y'all know this. I mean, the music, the movies. Yeah. I think there's just a breakdown in family values. And so as a father, it's imperative now that we show up and that we kind of keep our ears to the street on what the world looks like now. And so even as we age, even as our kids get older, that role doesn't really change. I mean, we go from being a father maybe to a little bit less of more of a consultant as they get older, but they still need you. And like Pastor Holland said, my son was just going through a situation and he wants me to rescue him. And I can't, because I learned the most during my painful moments. He has to go through that for his transformation. If I rescue him, I'm actually doing him a disservice.
Amen.
Powerful. That goes back.
But can we be honest? As a parent, it's sometimes hard because you gotta jump in and save them.
Absolutely.
But no, they got to go through it. They got to get their stripes.
It's the same way concept of a bird teaching their chick or the little birdie how to fly.
Yeah.
You can't fly for them. And it's a matter of, you know, teaching, you know, the whole concept of the butterfly, the caterpillar breaking out of the cocoon or whatever you want to call it, to be able to move those wings. You can't go it for them. They got to let it happen so that they can begin to fly on their own. So it's tough as a parent, man. But
it really is.
You have to let the way you protect them sometimes is letting them feel some of that pain.
Man, hey, you know what? I'm gonna take one for the team on this, because I'm not gonna put it on y'all. I'll say it, because women, the mothers tend to parent a little differently, and so they will get into that cuddle. Oh, we have to. He needs this, and I think that's why it's so important to have that balance, because we're I've stepped in numerous times, and I might get in trouble later, but I got to say it. I've stepped in numerous times and said, no, we're not going to do this. I'm not going to rescue you. You're going to have to, you know, get another job. You do whatever it takes. But, yeah, we have to stay strong, even though, our heart is hurting just like mom's. But I think God gave us that balance for a reason.
I'm glad you just brought that up. My last Facebook post is exactly what you just talked about, the head and the heart, and they work together, and one doesn't thrive without the other. And they're equals, but designed differently. And you need both of them as parents, because like you just said, there's times I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. So great point.
Yeah.
I would like to clarify something too. I don't know if the world is changing as much as we're getting more experience to what the world is that our parents faced. Like when we were young, we were so clueless and naive to everything. Yeah. I remember thinking how invincible I was. Like, don't worry about it. I used to walk off of jobs. Like, just like the Lord gave me this one, he'll give me another one. But in these 40s, I'd be like, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. let's reconsider. But I also saw life differently when I was married.
Mm-hmm.
When I was married, I looked at life totally different. I remember when single guys used to come to me and say they're having this problem and this problem. And I'm like, it ain't no way possible. If you did this, 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 and that, it ain't no way possible until I experienced those things. It's amazing the things that I did the whole time I was married came under question when I became a single father. Mm. So I was father of the year when I was married. But now that I'm a full-time single father with full custody of my children, it's, well, what did you do? What did you do to get them? The expectation for a father to be absent and abandon the children are still there. So a lot of the things that we're contending with, even my daughters, a lot of the things that they're contending with are not the stuff that is in the home. It's the perception about things. So even when we talk about the heart and the mind working together, it's the perception of how the heart and the mind should work. It's not the fact that they're working together. They really are, and they're doing a great job. But society will say, I feel like the heart should pump a little bit harder, or I feel like the mind should be a little bit more mellow, and now we're contending with that. The fact still remains that the father is seen as the lesser parent. How do we know this? Mother's Day is sold out.
Yep.
All right. Father's Day is the third from the last holiday that's respected. So we're dealing with societal pressures, and sometimes they affect the way that we parent, and things are being introduced that we have to sometimes play as rebound or defense. We don't always come in from an offensive stance. Sometimes it's just defense all the time. And that's because things are coming externally. And we try to say like, oh, I'm going to steal this so my children will know and blah, blah, blah. But if you have 30 people saying, why is your dad? Why are you with your dad and not your mom? Your children are now going to say, why am I with dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus saying, it's great that I'm with my dad. Like my youngest, the one who came and said it, she said, dad, none of my friends, matter of fact, nobody in my school that I know of lives with just their dad. I think it's kind of cool to be the only one.
Cool.
Now my oldest is like, something wrong with you, I hate you. But you know what I mean? But what they're dealing with is not what's going on in the house, is my point. What they're dealing with is external things. And what we deal with sometimes as men is the expectation of what a man is supposed to be. A man is described as everything but a human. Mm-hmm. So much so that we don't even have services for a man. I love that Cornelia said we're thinking about the whole man, but we don't even have whole services for a man. If a man is a victim of domestic violence, if a man is a victim of sexual abuse, if a man needs more financial support, there are no things that are in place for a man.
Yeah.
Because we can't even, our mind can't even process that men need help in this way. And so what we contend with is that. And so the frustration that we sometimes deal with parenting, the frustration that we may deal with our significant other, the frustration we may be dealing with life has nothing to do with us in the home. It's the war we fight outside. And some of it is silent and amorphic. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Brother, you dropped some nuggets, man.
You did. You
dropped some nuggets. Wow. Wow. And you also talked about the co-parenting piece, which is, man, unfortunately, it's more normal now than ever before. So how do you, you mentioned being, you know, a single father. How do you manage the co-parenting piece?
To be honest, it's just like being married.
Really?
I literally just told her the other day, it's like we married, but living in two different houses. You still got to talk almost every day.
Yeah.
You still got to make sure, and you got to make the choice to be present and active. I like how Pastor said it before. You still got to be present and active. And if you say that you are a believer, you still have to show your children how to honor their parents, even when they're showing you dishonor.
Yeah.
You still have to step up to the plate, even when you don't want to. And you even take a moment and be real, like, I'm frustrated in this moment. Mm-hmm. Let me pause. And then you still have to go through and do the same thing because they're watching every single thing. And they will bring it up when it's convenient. But also, you want to make sure when you lay your head down every night that you are at perfect peace with the decisions that you made.
Yeah. Can I be real with y'all? So, especially you, Jay. So you, I don't disagree one bit, but how do I put this? So you have your daughters, right? Say she had the daughters, because I can tell you what my biggest fear, what I don't know how I would have handled that. The possibility of another man coming into the home. I'm just be real with you. And now they're raising my kids.
They don't.
I know you have to handle that. Well, you say, Jay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me because I'm a product of another man raising me. And if it wasn't for those men stepping up, and here's the thing, the guy who adopted me when I was 17, he had no obligation to me. He wasn't dating my mom or anything like that. He just saw a kid with potential and said, you homeless, you don't have anywhere to go. Let me take you in.
Wow.
So I'm the product of that. So I don't trust my ex ability to provide and protect for the children, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust whoever she brings in the house to be around those children. And he can share in this headache. If he wants to, he can have the headache with us. I'm okay with that.
He said, come get some.
No take backsies.
It's enough to go around.
Right. No take backsies.
It takes a level of maturity to be like that. I tilt my hat to you, man. And I'm going to be transparent. I just don't know. I thank God I didn't have to go through that. But you deal with what you have to deal with. So I appreciate that.
I commend you too, brother. You know, for you to state that and to take that approach, you know, I understand that it takes work. Relationships, all relationships take work. And for you to take that approach that, okay, I trust who you're going to bring around, that means that there's a level of trust in the relationship that you have with your ex-wife, that you know how far she'll go and won't go in certain instances. And so even though you're no longer parenting in the same household, you know, you're co-parenting, you still understand her strengths, her weaknesses. Yeah. And it's real. That's a very real mature approach to that, to where you can continue on in your relationship with her and also parent your daughters and trust the fact that she's not going to bring anybody in that space that you would not approve of. Because there's another side to that.
Yeah.
Because she knows that she's going to have that conversation with you, and it's going to have to make sense.
Yeah.
Vice versa. You got to make sense to her or whoever you're bringing in that dynamic, in that space. That's powerful. That's mature. Very mature, brother.
Tip my hat.
Can I add something to that?
And of course.
This is kudos to him, because what we're not talking about is that the kids are going to notice that, but it's going to create a love and connection for them that couldn't happen any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to embody that for his daughters, that'll be a container they live in their whole life, remembering how mature their dad was, and he put aside, because it does take putting aside your ego. Yeah. There's an ego with that. Like, I don't want anybody raising my kids. But understanding, too, that it takes a village, and this is where we're at as a family. And so this is the best way to move forward. So that, kudos to him for that. Because it's the word I want to use is rare. Because y'all know, y'all been around some fellas that, a lot of issues right there. So
it'll be tough for me. I'll tell you just that time, like, I want to take my sons to see the Harlem Globetrotters, but, Nelson taking them instead. And, that part of it will be just really challenging for me. I can honestly say, and again, kudos. That's all I can tell you, brother. I'm proud of you.
It won't be because Nelson paying. I'm like, can I go? I'm gonna be serious as I'll get out. We talk about family trauma a lot. And there is some, but there's several things that my mom did extremely well. Mm-hmm. So she was married another time before, but she has four kids by three different men. Mm-hmm. But I'm the youngest of her children, but all of those men always call me son. Mm-hmm. My mom has always had a relationship with their wives.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they call each other wife-in-laws.
Yeah.
They plan trips. So we never use the word step. We never use any of that. We've always used just family. And one of the things that the therapist said when we were going through the divorce, she said, y'all are still a family. Y'all are just a different type of family. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at whoever is coming into the fold, they just making our family better. And so it made my life just so unique because I went to school with a lot of my brother's step siblings and all of that. And we just call each other siblings. Matter of fact, if you was on my Facebook post, I just said, I love my brother's brother's sister. We grew up together. We was in each other's class. And every day she see me, she say, hey, my brother's brother's brother, because we're family.
Yeah.
And I think that we should look for reasons to embrace that. And so if another person wants to come in and help take care of my child and split them bills, thank you. And if you want to split these attitudes that I get, thank you.
Yes.
Because I feel like those things help, because as parents, we do need a lot of help. Sometimes mom and daddy don't do it. Sometimes we need that third person to come in. Sometimes can help. That's all.
No, that's good. It does take a village, as Cornelia said, but I can tell you, so you've actually seen it. You were exposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And my upbringing has been a little different, where the step-parent has came in and there's been some friction, and I've seen things like that. And so I think our experiences kind of dictate our philosophy and our mindset on what we can and cannot accept. So that's spot on. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, brothers, I have to jump off. I have another meeting, but this has been great. Can we do a part two?
I'm pretty sure our listeners. So let me ask y'all this. Any final words before you? I'll start with you, Jay, since you got to go. Any final words on this subject as a whole?
It's okay to be a human. Yeah. I just want to put that out there first, because I think we hide behind labels and titles. But be a human first. You are a person that happens to be a father. You are a person that happens to have a relationship with a father. You are a person that are trying to figure that out. So every feeling that you feel is valid. It may not always be the effective or the best decision to make, but it still is valid. And give yourself permission to feel, because if you give yourself permission to feel, you gain access to heal.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Amen. Right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I know you got to go, so we will be in touch soon. And maybe a part two, but I know you're coming on in a few months for another spot. So thank you.
Sir. Thank y'all. See y'all later. Good seeing you guys. All right.
Thank you. Dr. Holland.
Uh-oh.
All right. No, I just want to get you, I'll let you kind of sum it up. Any final words before we close out, man? And it's always to have you on here, brother. I appreciate you more than you know.
Well, I appreciate you, man. And thank you for allowing me to be or have the platform to be able to do so. But my last parting words, I would say, as a father, do what you say you're going to do. Keep your word. There are often times where I see, children and even adult children to where their parents, they don't keep their word.
Yeah.
And, when you don't keep your word, you tend to have an issue with trust.
Mm-hmm.
Your children, whether they're young or older, they will not open up to you and give you that space to be able to give them the advice that they need, to be able to, you know, help them in troubled and trying times in their lives. You know, when you don't keep your word, it just, you know, it just speaks that, you know, you're not a man of your word. You don't have the integrity that you're supposed to have, and that you're not dependable, and you're not accountable for, you don't want to be accountable for anything. So as a man, keep your word. You say you're going to do something for your child, and also not just your child, but you say you're going to do something for your spouse. Keep your word, man. I see people that they always, sometimes they're always breaking their promise, or they're not following through what they say they're going to do. You know, a man is only as good as he says. Yeah. Back in the day, they used to say, your word is bond.
Yes.
You know, yes. You lose confidence, or people lose confidence in you and your abilities if you don't keep your word.
Amen. Man, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a very, very important part of this piece of parenting. And then I'm going to go a little step further. We love our sons and our daughters, but as a father who, and I know this a young lady who this has happened to, when the father's constantly making promises and not following through to her, and you mentioned that issue of trust. Now, when any guy, she's having these experiences, right, with guys she just can't trust because dad never came through. So, man,
that's right, man.
Thank you.
Dad never came through. Dad never did what he said he was going to do. So then, yes, now she has issues in her relationships. And so,
yes,
you know, she looks at everybody where there's a lack of trust. As soon as, you know, she don't open up and allow herself to be vulnerable to a healthy relationship because of her preconceptions of what a man, how a man is going to respond to adversity, or not even adversity, how a man is going to respond to some of the things in life, the simple things, is what time is he going to show up for the date? You know, what time, you know, are you all going to keep, you're going to go to the place in which you said you was going to go to? Are you going to even remember the birthdays, those important dates, anniversaries? You know, you don't keep your word, it's a ripple effect in other areas of your life.
Amen. Well, brothers, we appreciate everything, and I'm pretty sure, I know the listeners, man, we're going to get a real buzz out of this. It's definitely going to go down as one of my favorite episodes, if not my favorite, because I appreciate the transparency. I appreciate the three men of God who are on here, man. And as always, God bless y'all, and thank you so much.
All right,
bro. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.